SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline, with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh, we are live and ready to go. The best hour of your day officially underway. It's Armchair Quarterback Monday. Maybe my favorite day of the week. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. The next hour, we got you covered, because sometimes you say, like, maybe there's not enough time. I don't know if there is. We're going to try to squeeze every single possible angle you can squeeze into. But I had so much fun this weekend. College football, pro football, heading into the end of week one in the NFL. And we got a banger tonight. And the boys will be in studio live once again for the San Francisco 49ers and the New York Jets. Kevin, let's get after it.
Excited for that. Hope it doesn't end in as much pain as last night's game did. Rams plus 4.5. Best.
Oh,
bet.
That's right.
The amount of things that needed to go wrong in order for that to be a Lions cover was absolutely stunning. Put a real sour note for a little bit there on the closing out Sunday. Well, it was overall a good Sunday from a betting perspective. But when the best bet doesn't come in, it hurts things a little bit more. And Rams should have covered that football game, man. They should have covered that football game. You lose a coin toss. You let them march down the field, but hold them to 3 when it would have been better off if you let them score a touchdown. Then you allow a touchdown when you need to hold them to 3. And that was an unfortunate way for that Sunday to come to a close there, Donnie.
But we're a team. That's what it is. What was the final record for best bets yesterday? It was 2-1. I hit mine. Lisa hit one. You, and also, it is a shame because I didn't see the second half. I had to wake up this morning and watch it on replay. But even talking to Ben, I was like, oh, that's right. Kevin had that bet. And I was saying to myself, what a worst case scenario. Like, you get the football as the Rams in overtime. Kevin, you're like, oh, 3 and out. Fantastic. That means a field goal the other way. The game is over and I cover, even though the other team wins. I actually thought Detroit would win and cover that game. And for a large part, it looked like they might run away with it. But let's just start there on that game. Credit Matthew Stafford, man. Just an absolute gamer. Puka Nacua goes down, but it looks like Cooper Kupp back in as good as he ever was. Ton of targets, ton of catches, ton of yards, touchdown catch. I loved, even though it was a shame, tackles going down left and right, not a great offensive line. You lose Puka Nacua, and at the end of that football game, you probably still should have won it, which is crazy.
Well, that's kind of the tough part of it, right, Donnie? Because you're so right. The fact that they lose Puka Nacua, I think the starting left tackle was the backup left tackle coming into the game. Aiden Hutchinson all of a sudden flips sides. He starts abusing that kid. Not much you can do when you're on a third string left tackle against one of the best in football. And you kind of sit there and you tell yourself, hey, man, listen, like, we hung. Again, the NFC is going to be tight. You just lost to a conference opponent. But also, Donnie, the injuries are there. Puka was banged up all offseason. All right, so now I think you should probably prepare to not have Puka Nacua for a few weeks here. The left tackle that was already injured, that situation wasn't good. And guess what? It just came out today that Avia, who's awesome, by the way, we talked him out at the Super Bowl. That dude's amazing.
Yeah.
But he is injured now with an MCL sprain. So now the whole left side of the line might be banged up here, Donnie. So you steal a win in Detroit. Right? And all of a sudden, the compiling injuries guard, we got a little bit of breathing room. Instead, now what? Now we're 0-1. The whole left side of the line is gone. No Puka Nacua. We're hosting what's clearly a scrappy Arizona team next week. Yep. And we follow that up by playing the Niners. Okay, this isn't how we wanted to start our season.
No, it's not. But I loved everything I saw out of Matthew Stafford here. It's a shame because you had everything you wanted from a game perspective, right? You get that massive comeback. You have the lead. You need your defense just to step up one time, or at least in extras, I should say extras, overtime. Get a 3 and out. Give them 2 first down. Heck, they kick a 50-yard field goal. You still get the football back. And I understand fans and the concept of they get angry. You have to understand something about the regular season. I used this analogy this morning, Kevin. The ghost run on second base, true tradition. I hate that. You can't play 17 inning baseball games on a Tuesday night in game 36 of 162 mm-hmm. game and blow up your bullpen. It just doesn't make sense. That's why they're the ghost runner. Not because it's more fun and we can score more runs. It's because it ends the game quicker than what could take place. It's the same thing in the NFL. Now, granted, would we love to see each team get a chance? What happens if they go back and forth, Kevin? Four straight touchdown drives by each team at that point. You play 6.5 quarters of football in week number one. You can't do that. But it does stink that one team gets the football, the other doesn't. But at least they change it up. As it used to be, if one team just kicked a field goal in overtime, it was a wrap. But you should be able to stop them from scoring a touchdown. They did Swiss cheese them up and down the field. But it is a shame that the Rams, for all intents and purposes, didn't get a chance. But we understand why that's done now.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I actually didn't sit there feeling like I was messed over by the overtime rules.
Yeah.
I was upset I lost the coin toss, right? I hate that. Correct. Had I won the coin toss, I would have won the bet.
You would.
Right? Unless Stafford throws a pick six, you're just automatically going to win that bet.
Yes.
So that was frustrating. But at the end of the day, like, I don't share the same, Stafford would have marched down and got a touchdown. I don't know about that.
True.
Yeah, I mean, every single pass had to go Cooper Kupp's way. Pressure. So, why it is so specifically frustrating, Donnie, is the drive the Lions put together to win that game in overtime, if they would have put together in the final 2 minutes, I win my wager.
Yeah.
It's just that it would have been 24-20 as a final score instead of, 26-20. Which is what they ended up, kind of being that final tally. So that was a frustrating point of it all, but good for the Lions, man. The Lions hype is rampant. I'm sure you were watching the beginning of that football game and that broadcast. Oh, yeah. Oh my God, the Lions contenders 30 minutes away. The defensive addition. Okay. I guess.
You can still get it. Still get after that secondary. You can still get after them. 100%. Close game. They did get the 100%. Win and cover. By the way, chat box out here. Jordan P. I wonder who that Jordan P. guy is out here. You know who it is, saying go Niners in the chat box. It is live. It's open. If you want to say hello, come in and say hi. But I do have that update up on one of my desktops here. We are live in charge. All of them. We are an interactive show, as we like to say. But let's have some fun. And we only have a couple minutes left in this segment. So I'm going to get some of these other games out of the way. Vikings, Giants. Just it doesn't get any better from and there's a couple I told you so's from this week one, but just the I told you so on how can you have a franchise, Kevin? Because I just want to set the table for this. We were right on top of $40 million a year, hilarious. Not a single other NFL team was going to offer $1 on the free agent market for Daniel Jones, but somehow convinced that he's a franchise guy. He's not. He never was. He got injured. But the fact that the Giants had a chance this year to say, you know what, we're just going to eat this money. We're not going to cut him loose, but in case we need him, he's going to be on the team. We owe him a lot of money. He can be a backup. We're going to draft a quarterback or go out and get somebody. The fact that this regime, who I thought Dave Gettleman was one of the worst general managers I've ever seen in my life, I was wrong. It's Joe Shane. Because they had a chance to say, this isn't my guy. I know it's going to cost a lot of money, or not even cost a lot of money. We're just going to let him go, and it's a shame we can't even get a trademarked for him. But it's best that we move on and start the new planning of the New York Giants. They kept this guy. He was equally horrendous yesterday as he was the past two seasons. Don't we just get to laugh at this and say, it's not even I told you so at this point. It's like, how could you be so stupid to have him as your starting quarterback?
I think the thing is, man, to watch it be so obvious.
Yes.
Right? Sometimes contracts get handed out and guys fall apart. In real time, we said, nobody will pay him that money.
Correct. No,
they lied
not
to
any
themselves.
Money. Like not any money.
Correct.
Like maybe like $2 million as a backup. That's it.
We heard that Justin Fields for years would have this wildly competitive market. I traded for peanuts because ultimately teams stood pat because the Bears had to get rid of him. The Giants bid against themselves, and what they're going to do in the process of this is cost themselves a great head coach.
Yeah.
I still think Brian Daboll's a great... Because guess what? Last year, Brian Daboll had Tommy DeVito looking like he could play quarterback to some degree. Daniel Jones, one of the worst quarterbacks this league's ever seen.
That was a good betting day yesterday. Chat box at it. Look at this. The X-Men's in there. Chris Warren is in there. Jordan's in there. The boys are all together as we take it out to the break. We'll be right back. It's a great day, baby. It is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Did you enjoy yesterday? Did you cash in? Had a good day. Morning Crunch, 3-0 sweep, best bet winner. And by the way, I'm driving home, Kevin, listening to that Buffalo Bills game on the radio. And I was like, you're going to tell me that Josh Allen is going to have two touchdowns, but he's going to run two of those in and not throw a single touchdown pass. So I'm in the car, and I hear the update on Matt Collins scored a touchdown. Interviewed that guy at the Super Bowl. Nice guy. Helping me out. Love to see it. But the Shakir touchdown, when I was watching live at home, Kevin, it was panic attack and elation at the same time. Did you see how Josh Allen threw that final, his second touchdown pass in the third quarter?
No, I don't remember.
It was a slip screen at the 9-yard line. He shook like three or four defenders, and it was on the far side of the TV screen. He's getting tackled around at the one and sort of like goes into like a little flip, reaches over for the end zone, and I squarely look at the ref, and he calls touchdown. Like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And I was like, I know what happens next. Let's see this return, Kevin. He rolled over the defender on the 1-yard line, stayed on top of him upside down, reached his hand out behind his head with the football. His helmet like hits the goal line, but the ball already crossed. It was like, this guy was like divine intervention, because I was saying to myself, I know how usually week one works. You get burned by something so stupid and you're angry because it's week one. You're not even in like betting mode yet in the NFL. And the fact that he scored that touchdown and it counted, and it was the only two touchdowns, the chance it basically had to throw the second one. I was like, that's one for the good guys. That typically I come on this show and say, did you watch that? I can't believe they overturned that call, but it was the right call. Thank goodness there. Got that out of the way. And by the way, we'll stick with the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. On the ropes, man. On the ropes against a bad football team.
Yeah, luckily for Buffalo, the Cardinals have what has to be the worst defense in the league. My question is, and I know people care more about the Buffalo side, but is Jonathan Gannon going to get fired since he's a defensive guy and the defense is this bad? I just don't know what he's supposed to do.
I don't think that's what I'm saying. I'll comment on this. He doesn't have a chance to be a good defensive coach with that team. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's kind of my that's where I feel bad for him. But, you know, for the Buffalo Bills, here's where I will give them credit. Yeah. I thought they were done. 17-3. Sometimes we say, oh, don't worry, they'll come back. Like, I thought Cincinnati would come back, obviously, right? I thought Buffalo was done, and they just slowly but surely continuously chipped away, and Josh Allen made great plays. Buffalo, big picture, though, my thoughts don't change at all. When Josh is special, he'll be special. Guess what, though?
Correct.
That's one of the best games Josh will play all year long. And you needed that to beat the Arizona Cardinals at home. They're in a tough spot this year, man, the Bills. They really are.
No, and I was happy that they won that game. And I'm in a different pool, which actually had 5.5 as the line, which is huge in that game because I was like, oh, look at this. Buffalo's going to cover. And we finally saw the dynamic kickoff be dynamic with DJ Dallas taking it to the house, which you already know my topic on this. They need to make it more punitive if you kick it into the end zone, because you can get those fun splash plays with this new dynamic kickoff. But, you know, we don't have time to talk the kickoff. There's way too many hot topics to get to today. There were a lot of games yesterday that you looked and said, ooh, this is real interesting. And whether or not you thought a team would win or not, Kevin, I liked the Texans yesterday. I was like, you know what? We'll see Caleb Williams, a rookie. I don't trust that Chicago defense. 17-0 lead. The Titans lose 24-17. Caleb was terrible. The Chicago Bears offense was a mess. The defense scores on an interception return, which I'm going to get to in a second. They block a kick for a touchdown and end up winning and covering 24-17. I said the Titans spent money in the offseason. I didn't know if it would make a lot of sense, because I just didn't think they were going to be a playoff team. Like, you know what? You spent money to find out if you had a quarterback or not. You have three legitimate wide receivers, a great ground game now. There's no excuses. You were handed a 17-point lead, and you threw one of the dumbest interceptions possible. And I say this because I truly believe, Kevin, in that game, once they got up 17-0, if the Titans did nothing but take knees the rest of the game and didn't even try for first downs, they would have won that game. But their quarterback was so dumb, they lost, it feels like, because of him.
They were terrible. You know, I was going to send out a tweet just to laugh. The boys were watching the show, and you know, the better QB comment really stuck with them between Levis and Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
And I was going to kind of send out, you know, a little tweet. I went, you know, it's funny, but Will Levis is probably still outplaying Caleb Williams all in all in this football game. That's how little Caleb Williams was doing.
Yep.
But yeah, the Titans are without a franchise quarterback. Will Levis is not good. Will Levis was not good in college. Will Levis is not going to be good in the National Football League. It's that simple. For the Chicago Bears, though, DRS, because that's like they just won a game where if Caleb Williams plays a game worse than that, that'd be crazy. He was maybe the worst quarterback on us. Daniel Jones. He was one of the five worst quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, yesterday.
He was?
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning by a touchdown. Two defensive touchdowns, it's fluky. But you know that offense will be better. You know it's going to be better, unless you're out on Caleb Williams, which I don't think you are. So for the Chicago Bears, that's an excellent result. I really believe that.
Yeah, and also the thing I liked about it too is like Caleb Williams' mindset, even at the end of the game, he didn't play a good game. You know what a lot of people would do? Mm-hmm. Man, you know what? It's just, you know, well, we got the win, but like really down on themselves. It looked like you couldn't tell, Kevin, if he threw for 340 and three scores or if he was terrible. And I sort of like that mindset by going like, I know I'll get it together. Like, it's so awesome. I played in my first game in the NFL. We picked up a win, but it wasn't that downtrodden interview. Because you're right. Nobody's out on Caleb Williams after watching yesterday. He is going to get better, and that team certainly will move. They sold that football game, and sometimes that's really big. Can you imagine, Kevin, if Caleb Williams came out and they lost 17-3 in that game the way he played? It's like, oh, my goodness. But you sort of say, okay, young rookie will get better, and we do believe that. Now, we are going to talk about rookies and how sometimes you can't play them. But, Kevin, let me just start here quickly. Jaden Daniels, 39.5 rushing yards yesterday. It was something, and you know me, I picked out in the middle of the offseason, this number at 575.5 is low. Because I think the original question you asked me before those numbers came out, or right when they did, was, what do you think his rushing numbers, talking about Jaden Daniels of the Washington Commanders, should be? I think I told you like 785 or like 800 yards. Whoa, discount here. And I said, you know what? I sort of expect him to run for 50 to 60 yards every single game. They just don't have enough firepower right now. Baker Mayfield was tremendous, but a lot more hot topics on the way on Moneyline on a Monday. It is the best hour of your day. It is underway, and what a game we have for you tonight. A lot of previews, a lot of fun still to come. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we got a lot of hot topics still to hit. And a couple of these were mind-numbingly questionable games from players that are like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers going on the road? They didn't even score a touchdown. Still beat Kirk Cousins. And I don't know how you can have regression at this point in your career as if it was Kirk Cousins. But sometimes, Kevin, I watch the highlights of that game. And tomorrow I get the day off, so I'm going to watch, you know, just about every single game start to finish in about like 40 minutes, just watching the replays, condensed versions. But I did get a good look at what Atlanta was doing. Some of the dumbest interceptions you could possibly have. Like, I don't know how a guy that's thrown for that many yards and that many touchdowns still making dumb decision after dumb decision. The only thing I can think of is, A, he was rusty, and B, maybe that push off with the Achilles just isn't there yet for Kirk Cousins.
I'm not surprised.
Ah.
Why do we keep doing this? He's not that good. Listen. Are we surprised that Kirk Cousins went up against Mike Tomlin, T.J. Watt, and that Steelers defense and struggled off a torn Achilles? Year number one in a brand new system. Game number one in a brand new system. I'm not at all. I had immediate regrets watching that game that the Steelers weren't my best bet. It doesn't matter. I was on the Steelers. They played exactly how you expect. They did. Pittsburgh's the only team in the North that won, which is hilarious. They're going to need a lot of help to actually win that division because the offense still isn't going to be good. Actually, we can get back to Atlanta if you want. Yep. But get another classic right up your alley topic.
Yes.
Donnie?
Yes.
Russell Wilson was listed as inactive. Russell Wilson was in shoulder pads, jersey, and eye black. Donnie,
I thought I saw a correction on that. I thought there was a correction.
He was actually there?
The emergency third string. Yes. Like somebody got that wrong, because that would have been the ultimate. Because you could tell me today, like that was still like, Donnie, you don't know the story or even how it turned out, because I want to get to the bottom, but I saw conflicting reports that said he was actually the emergency guy that they could have activated. But you're right about that. If you would have told me without any backlog or even knowing the story, Donnie, the guy was on the inactive list. He could not play, but was still in full uniform on the sideline. We might have spent a full like half hour of this hour show talking about that, because this is the same guy that was like, let me run a practice drive by myself with a broken hand and no football and move us down the field and make sure the cameras catch this in like Lambeau Field with nobody in the stadium. That's Russell Wilson to an absolute T. Now, having said that, Kevin, Justin Fields threw for 156 yards. It never fails to hit. Like, I understand you were in the mindset of the Steelers, which I give credit to Mike Tomlin, because he's all about winning football games, not really what necessarily the future is going to be good for him. Because really, you should have said, like, hey, let's just go out there and let you sling it 35 times and really see what you got. Like, no, let's win this game, because the future of the Steelers, who cares? We only want to talk about this game itself. Mm-hmm. But tell me next week, like, Fields led you to a win. 156 yards passing, ran enough plays on the ground, didn't turn the football over, which is key, only to say, Russ, I know you're not even 100% next week. I still want you to be my quarterback.
They can't. Why are you rushing him back, right? Like, just let Fields run around. Fields isn't very good. I'm not defending that Fields deserves the job. That's kind of, look, there came a point when you had to realize that the field stuff wasn't it. And I think a lot of people got yanked back in by that bizarre two-game window where he was throwing like four touchdown passes a game. Yes. He's not the guy.
No,
okay?
He's not.
But neither is Russell Wilson. You might as well go out there with the mobile quarterback who's willing to throw it downfield a little bit more in Justin Fields. But, you know, kind of jumping back to that Atlanta end of it, Donnie. You know, odds moving quite a bit. If I told you now, just like a simple yes, no. Do the Falcons win that NFC South? Are you willing to switch to a no after a 1 week of football?
No, because I know better than that. But if you're asking me as like a watching that football game, like, yeah, give me the Buccaneers. Like that's, or give me the Saints at this point. Like, honestly, because that's what one game does to you right off the bat, which we're going to get to that one in a second too. But no, I can't give up my position based on one football game with Kirk Cousins coming back. But I don't know if Atlanta told us the full story in the offseason about Kirk Cousins just yet. Like, reading the tea leaves, maybe something's wrong. But again, the Steelers defense, week number one, where you know it's going to be sloppy, they're going to put a lot of people in some pretzels, man. T.J. Watt looked as good as he ever was in that game, smashing that pocket. So there is something to be said about that. But it was disappointing for the Falcons. But I got to chuckle. Like, this is the Steelers. They will be 500 or better because they're going to win football games just like that. But Justin Fields thrown for a $150 as a first-round draft pick still in, like, year number five. It's just amazing to watch. That's just what his numbers are and the way they're going to be. We'll continue down this NFL pathway right here on Moneyline on a Monday, SiriusXM Channel 159. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, NFL is on our mind. We're going to get right back to it in just a few moments here, Kevin, but I would be remiss if we don't just go back quickly. I know it's kind of funny the way this show works because it's Monday through Friday, and the NFL is such a king, and there are so many great topics here. We only get 1 hour, but we can't just pass over what happened in college football on Saturday, because the simple fact is that big noon kickoff was an absolute rout by Texas over Michigan, which I saw coming. I didn't care it was 7.5. You know, I put out videos last week, like, yeah, I don't, 3.5 to 7.5, I think they roll, and they did. Were you surprised by the outcome with Texas, Michigan?
Stunned. Absolutely stunned.
Really?
But more than stunned. Yeah, Michigan was my best bet, Donnie.
Oh.
But more than that, DRS. And look, I got the game wrong.
Yeah.
Disappointed. Really disappointed. I like this Michigan team coming into the season, a little bit lower on Texas. I thought that they would be able to somewhat carbon copy what they did at Penn State last year of run the football 100 times, lead the clock, keep the game close. And I know the ground game wasn't super efficient in its own. Donovan Edwards is clearly more of a home run hitter, right? Mm-hmm. He's got some Joey Gallo to him. Not the most efficient guy at the running back position, but sometimes he can make some splash plays. But you are behind the eight ball when you should be out there running the ball as much as they did. When you're starting your non-mobile quarterback, I was saying all week, and I was like, and I obviously was wrong, but I was like, I just have a feeling Alex Orji will play in this game. I think that they let Davis Warren play against Fresno, and they should know that Alex Orji is the guy here for this matchup against Texas. The mobile quarterback, end-arounds, keepers, and any of his pass plays, Donnie, would be a bit of a surprise. Maybe you can hit a couple of deep shots then all of a sudden with an Alex Orji. And so they just came out and played that game like they could match Texas stride for stride. Mm-hmm. I never reinvested in game because I knew. Well, I was like, oh, we're not in a good spot.
Yeah.
We are not in a good spot here whatsoever. Yep. I got it wrong, swing and a miss. I have some Michigan futures. Obviously, those look terrible as well.
Now, also, Kevin, late night referendum game, Colorado Buffaloes. And the thing of it is I don't want to say like Matt Rhule's a nice guy because I didn't watch the second half. And quite frankly, I didn't watch a lot of the first half after that 14-0 lead. But it feels like if Dan Lanning was once again in place, that might have been 45-10 at that point. Because I saw 28-0, the game was over. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know how the second half played out, but it was it Nebraska just saying, we know you don't have a good offense, we just don't have to turn the football over, let's just get out of here with a victory? Or did Colorado's defense bow up and or either? Because they got routed in that game. And I'll also say this, I didn't expect them to win. But if they would have lost, as I said this morning, Kevin, 28-20, 28-24, hey, look, okay, we weren't supposed to win that game. We're getting closer. Let's move on. Was that loss so damning where you say to yourself, like, Deion's in trouble or they're not making a bowl game?
Man, it's a great question.
Yeah.
The win total, for the record, the win total was 5.5-6. You know, the Colorado expectations were low. They were, you know, touchdown dogs in that game. I thought they would hang. I thought we could have ourselves a much more prolific passing game from both sides of the field.
Yes.
We didn't get that. And as I watched this situation play out, Donnie, Shador postgame, right? They're like, hey, you can't really get the ball going, He's like, ah, you know, Raiola doesn't really get touched, you know? We can't really run the rock. You know, people are talking his leadership, and he's kind of always thrown his guys under the bus. And just the more you watch this Colorado Deion situation, I'm trying to figure out what the fix is and what the future is. Because clearly the idea with Deion is he's obviously big marketability. Yes. But from what are his benefits as a coach aside from that? You would think it would be his ability to bring in superstar players. But he's at Colorado. Shador is his kid. That's a monstrous leg up. And Travis Hunter's an unbelievable. I mean, he had Travis Hunter playing at what, the, you know, Division II school, FCS. I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's FCS. What, you know, he able to got Travis Hunter
lower
to go to.
Lower than FCS, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so that was obviously wild. I am trying to figure out, Donnie, if Deion would be better served at a monster program where his star power plus a big program might allow him to dominate recruiting and transfer portal, or if Deion is lucky his kid is an NFL-level quarterback and this whole thing is going to be a disaster once Shador goes to the league.
Yes. That's like, I think you bring up a good topic. And I guess you could say almost like the Ed Orgeron effect at LSU. Just let me bring the kids in. I can talk to them. I'm going to have an elite coaching staff around me. We're going to have unbelievable NIL money. It's going to be the perfect situation, which he doesn't have in Colorado. But you're right about it. It does feel like I was hoping to parlay this because I know how coaches look at this. And you might even say, like, even date back to myself in the mid-1990s. My head coach, my second head coach in college, was an ex-NFL guy. And he was an assistant coach for, I believe, a couple of division, or like what they are now, Division I AA programs. Let me take this job at a school who the previous year won like one game. I'll be there for 1 or 2 years. That's my launching point. I'll turn them around. Might not win a lot of games, but let's just go 5-5 in a 10-game stretch, 6-4, and then I'll say, look what I did to this program. Let me move forward. Didn't work out in this direction. Yeah. Never got those big coaching jobs. The reason I say it about Deion is, like, you know what? I'm going to catch lightning in a bottle. I'm going to get a major Division I job, which is Colorado, which not major in the way that they're a football powerhouse, but still a Power 5 conference. Watch me go there. I'll pull a couple dominant recruits. I'll take my son, who's going to be a first-round pick. I'll restart the program in my first year. My second year, I'll win 7 games, and you know as well as I do, Kevin. Another monster SEC school that might kick their coach out by saying, you know what? I'm just going to use Arkansas at this point. Maybe not even the best school, right? But that's going to happen. Deion, I guarantee you $25 million in NIL per year. You have a monster contract. We'll market it, and you'll move forward. If they don't make a bowl game this year, and Shador is gone, along with Travis Hunter, do they keep him, or does he just say, you know what? I tried. It just wasn't for me. I'll make a couple million bucks a year going back to TV.
But so Deion will be fine no matter what, right?
He will.
Deion will be absolutely fine. Yes. But here's the thing, right? For Colorado, you are lucky to have Deion in your building, flat point blank period. You don't fire Deion. I'm gonna go drastic end of this. I don't think there's a world that happens, but let's go drastic end, Donnie. Mm-hmm. Now, Notre Dame should fire Marcus Freeman. If I put Deion at Notre Dame, you're basically going to be guaranteed to have an unreal offensive line, right? Though. Like, do you know what I'm getting at though, Donnie? Like, is if I put Deion in a program like that, would he just be a monster recruiter portal? Because now it's Deion plus Notre Dame. I mean, look, he still have to have great coaching around him.
Yes.
But do you think that could, to some degree, work? Like, does it make sense that I think Deion would be better off at one of like the 12 best programs in college football?
Because
he has to be dominant.
Yes, because you have to look at some of these most successful programs, right? Like Nick Saban is just a flat out genius, and it was very rarely it's like I'm going to be a flat out genius and I'm going to walk into your living room and sell your parents on why you should be at my school. A lot of the times you have again like Ed Orgeron. I'm not even knocking his football acumen because that's wrong to do that. But Ed Orgeron was like, this guy's one of the biggest kick-ass recruiters. Put him in a dominant program, surround him with unlimited money, and what do? You win a national championship. If you're looking at some other school saying, I just want to be that CEO head coach, football coach that says, I can be here and surround everybody here. Just let me draw them in. Give me unlimited budget on my coaching staff and give me monster NIL where I have to, because again, Deion, from what I heard, Kevin, like most coaches, like, you know, I'm going to go out and secure the bag with these players. He doesn't even do in-home visits. He like Skypes you. Hey, man, you better come here, this and that and the other. Can you imagine him just going to a school? And also, when you go to a school like Colorado, and let's just say it doesn't work out in his favor, a lot of people learn from mistakes their first go around at a big school. You know what? I should have did this differently. I should have did that differently. You're right about it. If he went to a school like Notre Dame or even like Bobby Bowden in his late years, he wasn't necessarily coaching the team, but damn it, he was the CEO. And if you put Bobby Bowden in the living room with your mom, you end up going to that school because that's how good he was at that point. Crazy talk out here on Deion Sanders. Let's get back to the NFL next. Big game on deck tonight, people.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I've taken victory laps, yeah, Kevin, man. In the past. Sometimes I don't get the victory lap that happens this quickly here. Like a 4-5-40 victory lap. You know where I'm going. 16-10 final. In the jungle. Yeah. Cincinnati. When I've been saying all offseason, this was my fade team because why? Their owner is a flat-out bozo. And he proved that point to me yesterday. With Jamar Chase not practicing at all. Yeah, we expected Jamar Chase to be Superman out there. T. Higgins going, you don't want me in the future plans? You paid me for this year? I think my hamstring's a little bit injured. Like, I might be able to play, but I got to look out for my own well-being. You got exactly what it was called for yesterday. The Patriots, the least talented football team. Now, I had said that before the week started. It just might be the Carolina Panthers. But let's stay on the same pathway. The Patriots went into your building and knocked you off outright. And, Kevin, it wasn't even an upset. The Patriots were the better team start to finish in your own building. Why? Because you had such a turbulent offseason with your most important players. I loved that final score, my favorite of the week.
Yeah, I get it from your angle. I was wrong in that I thought Cincinnati was still safe in Survivor. I thought all the issues that they had created for themselves would keep them focused and off upset alert, knowing that they actually needed to show up in a week one game since they've not done that in the past 2-3 years now with Joe Burrow, which is obviously strange. Instead, they were embarrassing on the offensive side of the football, nearly shut out in the first half. And that, to me, somehow isn't even the most concerning end of it. Because at some point, Donnie, you expect Chase and Higgins will be back and what have you.
Yeah.
But Donnie, I ranked all the defenses in the conference. So 1-16, 1-16. Yep. They have one of the worst defenses in the entire AFC. And you went out there against a one-dimensional football team and could not do a damn thing about it. They abused that team. They had, and again, because I was rooting on Cincinnati. Nobody wants to lose in Survivor, right? Sure, I have Cincinnati tickets to win that AFC North, partly because of the ease of their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And they lose a game like that. And you look at that defense, that Cincinnati, listen, I don't know how many years in a row I can foolishly overreact to them losing in week one, and then by week six, Joe Burrow's unstoppable. But man, was that a disgraceful, disgraceful loss.
Let me ask you this question, because you know who's on deck next with basically a two-week bye getting ready for him. That's the Kansas City Chiefs. Answer me this.
And
I've told you this before, and it's the only take I have throughout the NFL, because I generally think ownership groups like, hey, look, we got to take care of our players. I got billions of dollars in my own bank account. Let's get it out there, and let's have fun with this. I truly believe Mike Brown will still dig his claws in this week and say, oh, our really low ball offer is out there if you want to take it. If not, you're going to wait a year. Because Jamar Chase might just be that guy that goes, I'll play the charade all year. I will show up to practice and not practice. I will show up to meetings and not pay attention. And I'll be active on game day just for my own well-being so I don't lose my game check. That can't happen. But I feel like Mike Brown will make a decision like, well, that's what the price is. And did you see we were sold out opening night and probably for the rest of the year? I got my money and I don't care what happens. I'm going to make sure that we don't set a precedent on this team for unbelievably talented young football players to get contracts when everybody else does in that same position. What is your thought process on Chase? Does he get a deal this week? Or are we playing this charade again?
I'm probably playing it, Donnie. Cincinnati has shown that they have no... Donnie, they're not scared of anything, Cincinnati. And Chase stepped out on the... Jamar should have never walked on that field. And he should have looked at him and said, see? Donnie, we don't know what T. Higgins is coming back. I mean, you know this, Mr. Hamstring.
Yep.
We don't know if he's playing next week. He's sitting there staring down the barrel of 0-2 unless they beat Mahomes again, which time will tell.
I love it. I love this scenario because this is what I needed to happen because, again, just going back to these guys should have been paid, like T. Higgins is really good. Mm-hmm. He should have got a paycheck. Jamar Chase is really good. He should have got a paycheck. And even me laying it on like Joe Burrow going, you're the leader of this team. You got paid. I didn't hear you one time say, I need that guy on the football field. I talk with ownership daily. This deal needs to be out there. Like, is there a clause in this contract or the Bengals put out there? Like, if you criticize Mike Brown, you'll lose your own deal. How could you not stick up for your guys? And now you got to have, like, the microphone happens on, let's just say, because today is basically an off day in the NFL. Same thing with Tuesday. Wednesday morning, we can't have this as a team. I need my wide receiver out here full time. I need him paid. Like, why doesn't he say that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't heard a Joe Burrow quote in forever. Legitimately, the only thing I've heard from Burrow this offseason is he's dyed his hair.
Yes,
but I'm saying, Donnie, like, they're not on Twitter. Like, I don't even understand what Joe Burrow's doing. So that's no bueno. That's not working. And again, you are squandering opportunities with the Ravens losing that opening game, which they nearly stole from the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, I'll tell you this, though. At least they know they're not going to finish last in that division. Cleveland.
Yes. Come on, because we're going to spend the final segment here talking about the game tonight, just to do a quick preview. But that was my next game. The Cleveland Browns. And I say this again, sometimes like we like to see it. You don't often root against a franchise or a player, but just the way everything went down off season, you know, what Deshaun Watson was doing, remove that from the equation. They paid 3 first-round draft picks and paid more money than anybody else in the history of the sport for a player who we thought would be good. Sometimes you're a bust in the draft. And I equated like Jamarcus Russell. You draft him number one overall. You took a shot, didn't work. You cut him. Boy, that stinks. It set our franchise back a couple years. But this deal and getting, watching Deshaun Watson yesterday, saying, you know what? We should have paid Joe Flacco $3 million to be our starting quarterback and just flat out cut this guy because the contracts would be the same, right? Hey, starting quarterback, maybe $3 to $5 million. Starting quarterback, $50 million. Combine it for 55. We get solid quarterback play. We can just say, oh, well, it's a write-off at this point. How are they that bad on offense? Tell me that.
Well, listen, they were missing their two tackles. It's the reason why Dallas at 2.5 was one of my favorite bets, right, Donnie?
We had it. Yep, we were
But he can throw the ball. These idiots, I'm not defending him. I'm not defending Watson. But they're doing the same thing they did to Baker by making him play at about 60%. As Baker dominates in Tampa, stop playing injured quarterbacks and then getting confused when they stink. It's not hard.
Look at him. He's upset over there. The chat box is popping. We're ready to go, baby. Keep it right here. We'll be back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football game, and it's a titanic battle. Jets 49ers, the boys in studio tonight. Live, rated Game Time. Carry you all the way through to the end of the game. A lot of bets, a lot of fun, a lot of things doing. Now, I am going to put in a nice same-game parlay. I haven't decided quite yet exactly what it's going to be, but you know me. I love to share it. If I got details out there and I think we can win some money with a solid handicap, we put that out there for the people. But Kevin, we're now seeing 4.5s at outlets and a total 43.5. Niners, Jets. I tell you, I like the points.
Yeah, I'll probably be looking the same way, DRS. Favorites so far 3-0 in primetime. There were 3.5s that were starting to appear in this game. It looks like 4.5s are back here in a big way. Total sitting at around 43.5. Last night's game was the first primetime under we had had with the narrow over in KC Baltimore, and then obviously the shootout in Brazil between the Eagles and the Packers there. So just kind of the way some of those primetime games are going, because I know people tend to look for primetime trends. Mm-hmm. One thing, too, with last night's over, and it was a comfortable over, but it was obviously a monster total, 52.5. We know sometimes when these NFL totals get in the 50s, you want to look under. We do have a Thursday night game, by the way, that has early look-ahead numbers out in the 50s between Buffalo and Miami. Just some stuff to kind of keep in mind on here. But this is, Donnie, of anything not involved in the Philadelphia Eagles, probably the single game that I wanted to watch the most this week, because we've been waiting to see Rodgers in a Jets uniform for years now, right? So that, to me, is where the interest comes in, how he looks. And anything will be noteworthy. Good, great, bad, solid. It all matters. It'd be one thing if the Jets played the Panthers, right, and smashed them. People are like, oh, it's Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to San Francisco, power rated last year as the best team in the league. I would say power rated this year, obviously, as one of the three best in the league with the fact that their Super Bowl price is right there near the top. So this is a tough spot for the Jets. We'll see what they're able to do.
Yeah, we'll be able to take a look a little bit. Again, in the afternoon, I'm going to sort of settle into what I like the best, but it looks like I'm probably going to – the numbers are really low. Like, you're talking about, like, Deebo Samuel under 50 yards, Brandon Ayuk right around 50 yards receiving, flip it over to Garrett Wilson. I think he's in the low 60s at this point. So some manageable numbers across the board, even 1.5 touchdown passes priced pretty well. 43.5, it's not a high number, because obviously if it was 50.5, 60.5, right, something ridiculous, those numbers would be much higher, expecting a ton of offense. But let me ask you this question. Like, you know me, last year, I knew the game plan with Christian McCaffrey. It was once he got rolling, they're not going to stop that. Like, nobody's going to lay in, that boulder's rolling down the hill, nobody's stopping it. He's going to get every call. He's going to get 99% of the carries. He comes in a little bit banged up. He can't get 20-plus touches tonight, right? Like, but who knows with Shanahan? Does he just run him into the ground night one for a win?
You wouldn't think so, but if they're going to play him, they're going to look to use him. I don't know. You and I have seen a few times that you need to be cautious expecting them to ease up on the McCaffrey workload. Yes. You know, are you going to look tonight, because I know you're going to put together some parlays, are you going to look at his touchdown as like a starting block?
OK, Kevin, I don't think he's going to be on my card tonight either way, like to start the game pre-flop. I don't think he is. Like Deebo Samuel, wide receivers, maybe a touchdown. Like, let's just say something I'm trying to build to tonight, which, again, with a 50% odds boost, I do it the way that maybe books don't really like it, which is why FanDuel gives me $5 bets now. But Bet365 has been very kind to me, and it's been a nice payoff. Like, a touchdown pass from Rodgers, a touchdown pass from Purdy, like 40-plus yards from, like, Deebo Samuel, and, like, 40-plus yards from Garrett Wilson. Like, that's the type of vision I'm having for tonight, which means that's normally a parlay that's not going to pay you anything, but a 50% boost on top of it, you're going to be plus money. Like, that's my vision for tonight. Trying to take the star players, if you will, just to do some good things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it certainly does. On the Jets end of it, do you think you're more interested in Garrett Wilson or Breece Hall scoring a touchdown? Because it's tough. It's tough with Rodgers probably wanting to get one or two touchdown passes on that board.
I think I do want to look, because that's the guy I'm really interested in, because I think if he's back to 100% flat-out blazing, Kevin, don't you feel he's going to get six or seven dump-off passes tonight with Aaron Rodgers in the pocket? Like, I can actually see him scoring a, which is crazy, a touchdown reception even more than Garrett Wilson does. Like, screen pass, 16-yard line, dump off, make a couple electric moves in the open field. Because they do have both teams end up great secondaries. So I think Breece Hall might work his way into it tonight. I'm excited for the game because the numbers are cheap. I just don't know which way I'm going to go yet on a lot of stuff, but we'll see what happens. That'll do it for today's Moneyline episode on a Monday. Thank you guys for being in the chat box. We'll build that thing up. A lot of great people commenting in there. And also, SiriusXM Channel 159, JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie right side, and Kevin Walsh. We're live in the studio tonight. The Sports Grid Network is where you need to be during football season. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.